This is Spectrum.
Alternative Medicine, Homeopathy, Secret Society, Hypnosis, The Paranormal, Alternative Energy, UFO Abduction, The Weird, The Wild, and The Wonderful.
With your hosts, Tom Theophanis and Scott Jordan.
Hello, good evening, welcome to Spectrum Radio Network on BBS Radio 2. I'm Scott Jordan, here with my co-host, Tom Theophanis, and remember, there's no such thing as too much information. Hey, Tom, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing good, doing good. Okay, this week's program, we have Dr. Peter Glidden on the line, and he'll be talking to us about the medical field and naturopathic medicine. Tom, you have a bio for him. If you could read it, that'd be awesome.
Yes, I do. Well, for over two decades, Dr. Glidden has been treating people around the world with naturopathic therapeutics, including homeopathy, medical nutrition, heavy metal chelation, detoxification, herbal medicine, and bioidentical hormone supplementation. Dr. Glidden's current treatment protocols, perfected over two decades of clinical work, are unique in the field of naturopathic medicine. He is the only physician in the world to combine classical homeopathy, medical nutrition, and comprehensive clinical diet protocol. So let's welcome Dr. Glidden to the show. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hello, Scott. Hello, Tom. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with like-minded souls. You know, there's not enough information in the world, and like the fella said, well, there's what you don't know, and there's what you don't know, right? And as God is my witness, when it comes to medicine and health, it's the stuff that we don't know, we don't even know, that's either going to help us or it's going to hurt us. And so I appreciate the platform that you folks bring to the table to help disseminate this information, because we are dropping like flies all around the world for no reason other than lack of knowledge.
Yeah, I agree completely. And it seems that the alternative health field has a lot of the answers, but they're just not well known. I mean, they're not getting any press, they're not getting any, the information just doesn't seem to be getting out there. Apart from your show, you have your own radio show, and we could talk about that. You have two shows. And apart from that and alternative shows and alternative media, other than that, it just doesn't seem to be making much of a dent. Now, hopefully that's changing. What's your opinion?
Well, you know, the answer to that question is embedded in the question, right? Because we are referred to as alternative. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't practice alternative medicine. What's it alternative to? Well, it's alternative to, in people's minds, the predominant, prevailing, monopoly medicine that's practiced all around the world, which is what MDs practice, you know, our curious cousins, the MDs.
Right.
Medical doctors don't own medicine, you know, and whoever co-opted the term medical doctor was a genius, quite frankly, because for the last 100 years, since the 1920s, more or less, since something called the Flexner Report, we have not had a free medical market here in the United States. Since the 1920s, medicine in the United States, and quite frankly, I could say Canada and Europe and most of South America, medicine has been completely dominated, monopolized, and controlled by the MDs who practice allopathic medicine, you know, and they have sold their take on medicine as the only valid medical option, and they have painted all of their competitors, the naturopaths, the chiropractors, the homeopaths, the acupuncturists, the Ayurvedists, the traditional Chinese medical doctors, you name it, they have painted all of us as back of the bus, substandard quacks. And most people in this country have bought that hook, line, and sinker. There's a couple of us that are standing up saying, listen, enough is enough. There's room in the world for everybody. Why don't you boys just sit down, cool off a little bit, and let us show people what we do? But, you know, medicine is big business in the United States, and the medical industry in the United States is a for-profit industry. Medicine is not results-driven. It is profits-driven. If medicine was results-driven, they would have stopped statin drugs 15 years ago, and chemotherapy would be against the law. But it's not. And it's a gigantic problem. It's a 5-million-pound gorilla in the middle of this country that nobody is talking about except myself and a handful of my buddies.
Yeah, it's true. Definitely that there are a few people out there. I mean, the group of people that are talking about it, they all know each other. And it's like a small club.
It's true. Listen, there's less than 4,000 licensed naturopathic physicians in the entire United States. And of that 4,000, there's less than 150 who have over 20 years of clinical experience. And of those 150 who have more than 20 years of clinical experience, there's less than 100 who are actively practicing. And of those 100 who are actively practicing, there's only myself and my colleague, Dr. Wallach, who give, collectively, we give, I think, 400 free lectures a year. We're the only ones doing it. We're the only ones standing up on this hill,
right,
beating this particular drum. And, you know, it's it needs to be told. This story needs to be told.
And so it's this sort of important life mission for you. It's interesting. Didn't chiropractors have, like, a tremendous amount of difficulty getting accepted because, you know, the MDs sort of put a whole bunch of roadblocks up there?
Well,
having an easier time a bit now.
And they still are. But, you know, most people in the United States anyway, I don't know what it's like in Canada or Europe, but most people in the U.S. really don't have any idea of how medicine has evolved here over the last 100 years. And in the 1800s and the early 1900s, the medical playing field was relatively even and no one group had the upper hand. You know, there were the osteopaths and the MDs and the chiropractors and the homeopaths and the herbalists, and everybody was more or less on the same playing field and nobody really had the upper hand. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Gangs of New York.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But actually, you know, before the Flexner Report, the competition amongst varying medical groups was just like that. I mean, they used to fight each other. They, you know, sword fights and gun fights and bring cannons to the competitor's hospital and try to blow the doors down. I mean, it was a big deal. It was not the way that it is now. But nobody really had the upper hand, and that's my point. But in the 1920s, the Carnegie Institute funded something called the Flexner Report, and they gave money to a gentleman named Abraham Flexner, and Flexner went all around the country. It took him 5 years. This was before the interstate highway system, right? Flexner did this on train, stagecoach, and horseback. It took him 5 years. He went all around the country, did an inventory of all of the medical schools and universities in the United States that practiced MD pharmaceutical medicine, brought that list, famously referred to as the Flexner Report, back to the Carnegies, who owned drug companies, and the Carnegies proceeded to give millions of dollars of free money to the medical schools and hospitals that practiced MD-directed pharmaceutical medicine. Now listen, if you're starting a business and I'm starting a business and you get $1 million of free money and I don't, guess who's going to have the more successful business?
Exactly.
And that's why medicine in the United States since the 1920s has been dominated by the pharmaceutical model. You know, most people kind of, you know, don't really think about stuff like this very much. And most people wrongly assume that the MDs are driving the bus of medicine because their therapies must be better. They must be more scientific. They must be more effective or whatever. And it's nonsense. As a matter of fact, for most chronic disease, it's just the opposite. MD-directed medicine not only produces pitiful results, but it's the third leading cause of death in the United States. The third leading cause of death. And that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, right? But because we are egregiously uninformed about this type of history. People think, you know, well, holy smokes, the only medicine they make TV shows about, the only medicine that's practiced at my hospital, the only medicine I'm taught about in school, and the only medicine my insurance pays for is what the MDs do, therefore they must be the best. And it's one right. of the worst mistakes we make, thinking that your medical doctor knows what's best for you. They don't.
They've spent like $100,000 going to perhaps more even, going to university and learning all that information, that programmed information that they regurgitate back out to pass the test and stuff like that. Therefore, they're more trained. That's not necessarily the case, is it?
No, you know, in order to become a naturopathic physician, I had to do 4 years pre-med. I had to do 4 years of naturopathic medical school, 900 hours of clinical supervision, pass national boards, pass state boards, and do 25 hours of continuing education credit. In Washington State, where I used to practice, as a naturopathic physician, I can deliver babies, prescribe drugs, perform minor surgery, work in hospitals, order any diagnostic test I wanted, legally refer to myself as a physician, and it's all covered by insurance. Ha! But if I was to do exactly the same thing in Illinois, where I now work, I'd be fined $2,000 and thrown in jail for a year for practicing medicine without a license. And that's just not right.
Wow. So you can do it in one area and not in another area. Tom, do you have a question?
I was listening to a radio show with a surgeon the other day, and he mentioned that over 150,000 people a year die on operating tables from just mistakes alone, never mind, you know, the so-called signs that they use to perform whatever they perform.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know, and we're just kind of blind to these facts. The Department of Health and Human Services in November of last year released a statistic that was startling to me. According to the United States Department of Health and Human Services, 15,000 Medicare patients a month are killed by MD treatments. 15,000 a month. And over 15 million a year are maimed, harmed, or wounded by MD-directed treatment, and nobody in this country bats an eyelash. You know, 3,000 people die in the Twin Towers 10 years ago, and we go to war. But 15,000 people a month are killed by MD-directed treatments, and nobody bats an eyelash. This is how much we have drunk the Kool-Aid in this country, that the MD owns medicine, and everybody else is a back-of-the-bus quack. It's a gigantic cultural myth that we're doing everything in our power to break.
Yeah, and a lot of the books that the MDs are learning from are supplied by the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, yeah, there's a gigantic relationship. I mean, where the pharmaceutical industry ends and the MD profession begins, I mean, they're one and the same. The average pharmaceutical companies spend $50,000 per doctor per year in free samples and public relations. Richard Horton, he was for years the editor of The Lancet, which is a very prestigious medical journal. When he retired, he said, and I quote, "Medical journals have devolved into information laundering operations for the pharmaceutical industry." I mean, it is a gigantic field of corruption. And, you know, it shouldn't be any news to anybody. Whenever any industry monopolizes or any organization monopolizes an industry, it's never good. I mean, it's right. never, ever good.
So the journals have become advertising platforms.
Yeah, and the research is fuzzy. I mean, just look at, you know, Vioxx, right, and Prozac. And for goodness sake, the other day, I had to stay home. I forget why I was home in the morning, but I was home in the morning, and I was doing some work, doing some correspondence, and I flipped on the TV. It's probably been 10 years since I've watched daytime TV, right? Maybe longer. Yeah. I'm watching daytime TV, and I was horrified because every other commercial on TV was an advertisement for a law office that was bringing suits against pharmaceutical companies for bad drugs. So I want you to think about this, right? The MDs tell us that they are the bee's knees, and that as far as research and safety go, They spend $60 million to bring some drug to market and research the heck out of it, and then it ends up killing people left and right. And this doesn't just happen once. It happens all of the time. Why? Because the medical industry in the United States is not results-oriented. It is profits-oriented. And the industry is completely 100% co-opted and controlled by pharmaceutical interests. And it is a gigantic problem.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard another guest say that doctors, at least GPs, are licensed drug dealers.
Well, more or less. But look, we have to give the devil his due and keep it all in perspective. You know, MDs aren't evil, bad people. But MDs are trained in one particular aspect of medicine and one particular aspect of medicine only. They are trained in reductionistic, pharmaceutical, and surgery-centrist medicine. They are trained in drugs and surgery delivered from a reductionistic perspective. This means that they are, in fact, the go-to people for trauma and for surgery when it's necessary, and for about 50% of most infectious disease. You know, if you have pneumonia or bronchitis or a broken leg, or somebody shot you and they have to remove a bullet from your arm, or you have an infected kidney, those guys are great, and their therapeutics are extremely effective. But for everything else, for all of the conditions that most people in this country go to the doctor for, things like high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, fibromyalgia, arthritis, osteoporosis, depression, heartburn, not only do their therapeutics stink and they fail to produce results, but they're also the third leading cause of death in the United States. And it, quite frankly, it's crazy what we have come to put up with. You know, there's the old fable that if you put a frog in cold water and slowly bring it up to a boil, the frog will stay in there and cook to death. But if you throw a frog into boiling water, it'll jump right out. Well, the water has been slowly been brought to boil on us for the last 100 years. Nobody recognizes it. And even though these guys are killing us left, right, and all around, every time we get sick, we run right into their waiting arms. And it is the biggest mistake that we make.
Okay, so we could talk, perhaps we could talk about chemotherapy. Chemotherapy has been around for quite a while now, and a lot of the chemotherapy drugs that they use are from the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, you can go now and get chemotherapy, and they'll hand you a drug from 78 and one from 81, another one from 83. I don't see them looking for a cure. I see them looking for a continuing process of treatment that costs a good deal of money. And when you run out of money, you're done.
Well, here's the deal. There's so much to say about cancer, but I'll just touch on two of the more salient points, okay? In the Journal of Clinical Oncology, Volume 16, Issue 8, published in December 2004. I can even give you the page reference, pages 549 to 560, the Journal of Clinical Oncology. It does not get any better than that as far as scientists are concerned. A study was published. It took 14 years of data collection to generate this study. That's a big deal. The study went from 1990 to 2004. It looked at thousands of people around the world, adults who had developed cancer and were treated with chemotherapy, right? 14 years of data published in the most prestigious cancer journal in the world. And here were the startling results of this comprehensive study. 97% of all chemotherapy treatments for adult onset cancer do not work. 97%. Now, in a study this big with this much data, there's a 3% error ratio. Do you know what that means? Between 94% and 100% of the time, chemotherapy for adult onset cancer does not work. Now, why is it still delivered if it doesn't work? Look, if Ford Motor Company made an automobile that exploded 97% of the time you drove it off the lot, I don't think they'd make that car very much longer, do you?
No, and I don't think anybody would be buying it, which would not feed the monster, right?
Exactly, but with chemotherapy, chemotherapeutic drugs are the only drugs that MDs get a direct piece of the action from. Here's how it goes. If you go to a medical doctor and he prescribes an antibiotic, the medical doctor gets no direct financial remuneration from that. You know, if he sells 1,000 prescriptions in a month, Pfizer Pharmaceutical might send him to a conference in Cancun for free, right? But he gets no direct kickback. But with chemotherapy, there's direct kickback. It kind of goes like this. The hospital buys the drug for $3,000. They sell it to the patient for $12,000. Insurance pays $9,000, and the hospital and the doctor split the difference. It is the only classification of prescription medication where a profit share like that is allowed, and there ought to be a law. This is the main reason that chemotherapy is still prescribed. It doesn't work, and quite frankly, we have lost the war on cancer.
Well, we're sorry, but we got to take a quick break right now, and we'll see you guys on the other side.
Are you suffering from constant pain in the knee, shoulder, wrist, and other parts of your body? Needle-free acupuncture with Lapingo Life Pads may be the answer. Lapingo Life Pads combine ancient wisdom with modern nanotechnology and advanced engineering. They're designed to relieve pain naturally with no needles and no side effects. That's Lepingo, lepingoproducts.com.
Hello, this is Scott Jordan, and I would personally like to thank all of our listeners for their emails of encouragement. It means a great deal to us. All of Spectrum shows are available in two formats, an MP3 stream you can listen to on our site, as well as a YouTube version. All of Spectrum shows are full length and free to listen to, and if I have my way, always will be. Tom and myself do all this work out of pocket and freely give our time and effort to giving you, the listener, the best, most informative experience possible. I would also like to thank our listeners who have donated in the past to help with our expenses. Every donation goes directly to keeping the project alive. Thank you, enjoy, and keep listening.
You've always been told to think about the alternative. Well, we can do better. We can show you. AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com will improve your health, well-being, and lifestyle through hundreds of different products, from herbs and well-being products to our large selection of specialty clothing, jewelry, and more. We ship around the world with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. There's always new products and amazing specials. Let us show you at AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com.
Just a quick question from another angle. Do you know of a way or multiple ways to treat cancer that avoid chemotherapy altogether?
Well, here's the deal. There's tons of anecdotal information and actual clinical data from alternative, quote-unquote, cancer treatment centers all over the world, right? My very close colleague of mine, my medical mentor, Dr. Wallach, worked for years in an alternative cancer treatment in Tijuana, Mexico. I've sat down with a lot of alternative medical doctors around the world who are involved with vitamin therapy for cancer. For instance, Linus Pauling and Abram Hoffer. Right. There's lots of people all around the world, right, myself included, who got really great results with cancer, but because we're not funded, because we don't work for universities, all of which are funded by pharmaceutical industry, nobody is going to give anybody any money for research for cancer treatment if it's not pharmaceutical centrist. But here's one thing that if you never remember anything else that I tell you, remember this. And this is one of the things I like to get out with every radio interview that I do, and I air this on my radio shows, quite frankly, as often as I can. My colleague, Dr. Wallach, a number of years ago, sued the Food and Drug Administration. And he sued the Food and Drug Administration to secure something called a qualified health claim. Now, we had to sue the FDA to be able to give you the following information. I want you to think about that. We had to sue the Food and Drug Administration to be able to tell you this without being thrown in jail. 200 micrograms of selenium. 200 micrograms of selenium. Selenium is a mineral supplement, much like calcium, and it's dirt cheap, dirt cheap. 200 micrograms of selenium given every day reduce the occurrence of breast cancer by 82%, prostate cancer 69%, colon cancer 64%, and lung cancer 39%, even if you're a smoker. Even if you're a smoker. You know what this means? This means if every girl in the United States started taking 200 micrograms of selenium from day one in one generation, we would have eliminated breast cancer by 82%. Now, why aren't the Susan G. Komen women marching for that?
Yeah.
One reason, and one reason only. There ain't no money in selenium.
There you go. It's interesting. I've seen a thing in the bank that was asking for donations for breast cancer just like a week ago. And it was connected, interestingly enough, it was connected to the bank. We won't even want to go to those guys. But they're in bed with the donation scheme to get money for cancer research. Now, that's what I find interesting. They always want money for cancer research, but they don't want any money for a cancer cure. Because if they get a cancer cure, then the money spigot stops.
Well, that's interesting that you should say that. I'll tell you a funny story. My mentor, Dr. Wallach, was working for Yerkes Primate Research Center in Atlanta, Georgia in the 70s. And while he was working there, he discovered the cause and the cure for cystic fibrosis. He discovered it and published it. He discovered that the gene that codes for cystic fibrosis is turned on when the pregnant mother is deficient again in the element selenium. Now, when the mother has enough selenium in her blood, that gene is turned off. So it's the on and off switch for the expression of cystic fibrosis. He proved it and published it. He also proved that cystic fibrosis could happen in animals, and it wasn't just related to humans only. And for this remarkable gift to humankind, after he published this article, Dr. Wallach was fired from Yerkes Primate Research Center and blacklisted by every major university in the United States because, like you say, once you find the cure to something, the research money dries up. And there's one more reason. You cannot patent a naturally occurring substance. So because selenium, in this case, is a naturally occurring substance, nobody can hold the exclusive patent rights to it. You know, you can't go to Washington, D.C. and patent orange juice or oxygen or buttercups,
yeah,
right?
Patent an orange tree, yeah.
Yeah, and if you can't patent it, anybody can make it. So why on earth would anybody do millions of dollars of research to prove that buttercups can cure cancer if after they did that, then anybody could make it? It just doesn't make economic sense.
Right.
But you're right that, and this is just another nail in the coffin, that medicine in the United States is a for-profit industry. It is not results-driven. It is profits-driven. Now, there's nothing wrong with making a profit. But when you mix money with a monopoly with medicine, somebody's going to die. And it's always the patient.
Right. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Peter. How often, if any, have you heard the major media describe what you just described in the type of numbers of individuals that are, you know, have died due to the medical profession?
Yeah, never. I mean, USA Today, every once in a while, USA Today will have a story about this or a headline about this. But, you know, they try to sensationalize stuff, right, to get people to buy the newspaper. That's the only place I've ever seen it. And I know why. I mean, if you look at TV, you know, 30% of the ads are pharmaceutical company ads. And if you open USA Today or the New York Times or the Washington Post or even your local newspaper, you know, there's these giant full-page ads for drugs. But those are big revenue sources for the media. And, you know, they're not going to turn around and kick those guys in the knees with a study that says, you know what, drugs kill people. It's not going to happen. So it's really bad here in the United States right now. And quite frankly, I think it's the same way all over the world that when, you know, I think there's like five guys that own all of the media in the world. That's just not right, and that's not good. And so we don't, you know, we suffer from disinformation here. Disinformation. We're fed a pack of lies all the time. And then the hospitals and the pharmaceutical companies just support that myth. And, you know, we're going down the tubes. We're going down the tubes rapidly. And but look, you know, the good, this is all the bad news, right? Is that the state of affairs of medicine in the world, it's bad. I mean, just look around. Just look around. Everybody in this damn country is sick. Everybody's overweight. Everybody's taking a prescription medicine for this or that. Nobody feels good.
Or multiple prescription medicines, especially if they're older people. You see the list of the prescriptions that they're on, and it's huge and financially crippling.
Yes, it's the largest cause of bankruptcy in the United States right now is the cost of medicine. And this is one point I'd like to hammer home really quickly. The United States economy is in the crapper right now. One of the main reasons it's in the crapper is because big companies cannot afford to pay workers' salaries and the workers' health care. So they're shipping jobs out of this country at a record rate because the medical treatment is too expensive. Why is the medical treatment too expensive? Is it because of insurance fraud? Well, maybe just a little. Is it because of a runaway pharmaceutical industry? Maybe, but just a little. Is it because of for-profit hospitals? Well, maybe, but just a little. The main cause of the overwhelmingly ridiculous expense of medicine as it's practiced in the United States is for one reason and one reason only. MD-directed pharmaceutical treatment for chronic disease does not work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'll give you a perfect example. High blood pressure is caused by three things: a calcium deficiency, peripheral arterial disease of the kidneys, or obesity. That's it. Most of the time, it's a simple calcium deficiency. You give somebody enough calcium and a good recipe that's absorbable, boom, it goes away. But your medical doctor, having had no training in medical nutrition, no clinical experience with medical nutrition, no respect for clinical nutrition, no even juvenile understanding of medical nutrition, does not know this. And so he misses it completely, and you suffer because of it. MDs, bless their hearts, are like colorblind art critics. They can see that that's a picture of a tree on the wall, but they are completely blind to the colors and the textures that make up the heart of the thing. They completely miss it all of the time. And because the only medicine that our insurance pays for, the only medicine that we have any experience with, is MD-directed pharmaceutical medicine, and because for the last 100 years the MDs have been telling everybody that everybody else is a darn quack, people go to the MDs, even though the chances are high that the therapies they're given by that medical doctor is not only not going to work, but it's going to hurt them. You know, we've drunk the Kool-Aid again, big time.
This is interesting in the fact that we previously had Bill Chastain talking about the Apex Institute, and the Apex, they've been doing a 5-year study on its effects on cancer. And he, I remember him saying something to the effect of, the oncologists, when they get the results, they're supplementing their treatments with Apex and taking the Apex solution, which is a silver nanoparticle solution, and they have resolved their cancer, that the oncologists will not state in any way, shape, or form that it can be in any way, shape, or form connected to Apex.
Correct.
Even though they see the results, that it's that the cancer gets resolved, that, you know, if you ask them, oh, are you willing to make a statement on that? No way. No. You keep my name out of this, because the patients can request the medical records, and the doctor has to give them the medical records, and then they can prove that that they've been resolved in a certain amount of time frame. Well, they won't even go so far as to say something oblique like, would you are aware that this patient was on Apex? Yes. You are aware of that there was a resolved, that it came out, that the cancer came out resolved, because you can't say cured. You have to say resolved. And they would say, yes, but can you say that on record? No.
This happens to us all of the time. I mean, I can't tell you how many, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I can't tell you how many times I've had patients, you know, with type 2 diabetes or osteoarthritis or breast cancer or fibromyalgia or Lyme disease or you name it. And, you know, they've been treated with conventional medicine for 10 years. They're not getting any results. They're getting worse. They end up in my office as a last resort. I put them on a therapeutic program, and in 3 months, they're completely symptom-free, 100% symptom-free. They go back to their medical doctor, who they've been seeing for 5-10 years. The medical doctor, you know, has a personal relationship with these people, a professional doctor-patient relationship. They know what their symptoms were. They know what the presentation was like. They know what all the blood work was like, and they've got all of the lab work right there in their little folder. They've got the before, and they've got the after. You know how many of those physicians have called me up and said, hey, Dr. Glidden, what the heck did you do? I tried to fix this for 5 years. I couldn't budget. You eliminated it in 3 months. What the heck did you do? Let's have lunch. You know how many of those guys called me up?
I think all of them.
Zero. And it happens across the board. Because there's a whole other aspect to, you know, medicine here. Because of the way that the laws are written and because of the scopes of practice that medical doctors have to pony up to. There's no way a medical doctor is going to do anything outside of the ordinary, even if it cures somebody, and come out and say it, because they're more interested in their security than they are in the health of their patients. Now listen, there are exceptions to the rule. You know, I know a handful of MDs who are really good people. They've seen through all of this nonsense, and they're big supporters and promoters of alternative medicine, naturopathic medicine, and homeopathy specifically. But by and large, the entire MD profession has built itself upon the political stance that they are going to dominate and eliminate the competition. I'll give you a perfect example. In 1987, the American Medical Association, the AMA, for goodness sake, was found guilty in federal court of promoting a 10-year slander campaign against the chiropractors. It was a very famous lawsuit called Wilkes versus the AMA, W-I-L-K-E-S.
I know about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the court, the federal court ordered the AMA to give the chiropractors $25 million in damages for promoting a 10-year slander campaign against them. And $25 million to the AMA is a drop in the bucket. So I'm not an alternative doctor. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I practice holistic medicine with, you know, medical nutrition and homeopathy. MDs are not medical doctors. They're allopathic doctors. They practice reductionistic medicine and give drugs. Reductionistic medicine is good for trauma and for surgery and for about 50% of infectious disease, but that's it. Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this radio show and you want to really take a serious step towards health and away from nonsense, you visit my website at drglidden.com, my last name Glidden, just like the paint, drglidden.com. I've got tons of free information on there telling you stuff you can do right now in order to increase your longevity and recover your health, because you don't know what you don't know.
That's, yeah, you've got a great website. I've been there. I've checked it all out. You have the two radio stations. What are the radio, how do they listen to you on the radio?
Well, the radio thing for me is brand new. My colleague, Dr. Wallach, who's become my medical mentor for the last 3 years, has the oldest health talk radio station, radio show in the world. It's called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And he has another one called Let's Play Doctor. And three or four times a month, when Dr. Wallach's on the road, and because he gives 300 free lectures a year, I sit in for him. and do his radio show. I also have a radio show of my own that we just rolled out. It's called Second Opinion. And there's one station, this is 2 weeks old as we speak, 2 weeks old. There's a station in Orlando, Florida that just picked it up. And if you go to drglidden.com, I'll have all the contact information booted up on that.
The links are there. Now, do you have archive shows on your website as well?
No, you have to go to the radio station that hosted the show to find the archive show. But on my website, I have webinars. I give health webinars.
Oh, awesome.
2-3 times a month for, you know, $5 a month. You can have a subscription, or $50 a year. You can have a subscription to my website and, you know, log on to the webinars and live, or look at the archived webinars. Last week we talked about detoxification. The week before that we talked about high blood pressure. Next week we're going to talk about the myth of cholesterol. That's a fantastic subject. Again, we could devote a whole 2 hours just to the cholesterol myth that is predominant here in the United States.
Well, that's a hell of a lot cheaper than $8,000 for chemotherapy.
Yeah, well, you know, we have to send the kids to college, right? And we have to help people as much as we can here. And
50 bucks a year is, you know, that's not a drop in the bucket. That's nothing.
Yeah.
And to be educated is a good thing.
Yeah, to be education. And it's curious, too. It's always been curious to me. I guess I was just cut from a different cloth. But, you know, the root of doctor in Latin is docere, which means teacher. And yeah, I took an oath as a naturopathic physician in 1991, and I took it very seriously. And part of my medical oath that I swore, you know, before my colleagues and my friends and family, was that I would teach people as much as I knew about health-related topics, you know, because just a little bit of information in this regard can save massive amounts of suffering, just a little bit of information. And so I really encourage people to log on to that website, check it out. I also wrote a book called The MD Emperor Has No Clothes, and it talks about all the stuff we're talking about tonight, except in a lot more detail, you know.
And we'll have links to all of this in the past shows section and the upcoming guest section as well. Tom has a question. Tom?
Yeah. You were mentioning earlier about Lyme disease. I'm kind of curious how Lyme disease is being treated in the U.S. right now. In your profession,
poorly,
because up here in Canada, it's almost non-existent. Like they don't, not only they don't understand it, but the medical profession is in denial that it exists.
Yeah, it's interesting that the same way that they were in denial that, you know, Candida existed, right, years ago. Lyme disease is a chronic infection caused by a tiny microorganism called a spirochete. And a spirochete is delivered, the host of the spirochete is a little tiny tick. It's called a deer tick. And the deer tick is about the size of a period on a printed page. It's an eeny, weeny, teeny little thing. It lives on mice and it lives on deer. Now, if you're bitten by a tick that's infected with the spirochete, and everything is just right, that spirochete, kind of like the malaria parasite, enters into your bloodstream and starts to take up housing and lives there. And that's not good because it's an infectious organism, and, you know, it damages the body. And if the byproducts of the cellular metabolism of the spirochete get into your brain or central nervous system, it can be quite devastating. But not only have medical doctors in denial that this is even a real thing, but if they are in fact on accepting of the medical fact that Lyme disease is a real thing, and by the way, I practiced for 10 years in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, which has the second highest percentage of Lyme patients in the entire world. Second highest percentage of Lyme patients. I know a lot about this subject because I've treated lots and lots and lots of Lyme patients. But the medical doctors that do accept it as a reality have lousy diagnostic tests to even see that it's there. You can have somebody with all of the classical signs and symptoms of Lyme disease, but they test negative with the blood work. And you can have somebody who had Lyme disease 5 years ago, they're symptom-free, and they test positive for the blood work. So the diagnostic array that contemporary, you know, medicine has developed to dial this diagnosis in is poor and substandard and juvenile, and it's a complete waste of money. And to add insult to injury, if a medical doctor believes that one of their patients does in fact have Lyme disease, their treatment is antibiotics, which is just this side of insanity.
Right.
Because the spirochete is not a bacteria. You know, you can't use an antibiotic to kill a virus, right? That's why antibiotics don't work for the common cold. Common colds are caused by the rhinovirus, and an antibiotic only kills bacteria. You can't kill a virus, can't kill a spirochete. But the ultimate end stage, so it's antibiotics, antibiotics, and then more antibiotics, and then stronger antibiotics, and then more antibiotics, and then if that doesn't work, more and stronger antibiotics. I've had patients in my office taking $15,000 of intravenous antibiotics a month trying to kill the Lyme spirochete. And I'm the quack. It's unbelievable what MDs get away with. And honest to God, again, I don't know what it's like in Canada. And I have to tell you, Quebec is one of my most favorite cities in the world. I love that city. I don't know what it's like in Canada, but in the United States, someone can put a white coat on, strap a stethoscope around their neck, and tell somebody to jump from the roof of the hospital, and that's what they'd need to do to fix themselves, and most people would do it. Because we have become enculturated in this country to believe that whatever the MD says goes. I don't know where that started, but I'm just the man to end it. And this is why, you know, we give as many free lectures as we do a year.
And there are multiple treatments for it that you're aware of?
Yeah. So, you know, I went off on a little tangent there. Yes. So what we find effective for the treatment of Lyme disease is fundamental foundational medical nutrition, because you have to give your body everything that it needs in order to fix itself, or it doesn't have a chance. You have to increase your immune function by taking herbs, herbal combinations that stimulate the immune system, and emphasizing proteins that are good for your particular body type, because your immune system is made from protein. Most people don't understand that. You know, your bones are made from calcium. Well, your immune system is made from protein. So when you're under an immune challenge, like an infection, you have to eat more protein, because when you do that, it strengthens your immune system. And actually, I use two botanical medicines specifically for this. Well, one botanical medicine and one mineral medicine. I use colloidal silver for it, and lots of it. And there's a very particular botanical medicine called Teasel. That's T like Thomas, E-A-S like Sam, E-L, Teasel. The Latin word is Dipsacus sylvestris, and teasel root, the tincture of teasel root, you take 5 drops 3 times a day under your tongue, and we believe, although we haven't been able to come up with $5 million to prove this, but we believe there's a chemical in the teasel which is a specific antagonist to the spirochete. It kills the spirochete. So I do teasel, colloidal silver, foundation medical nutrition, some minor diet change, and if the person has any real strong outstanding signs or symptoms, we do homeopathy to clean it all up. But that's a good combination, and I've helped lots and lots of people recover from Lyme disease.
I'm wondering if they also took Thebesol and Ravencera, if that would help.
It certainly could. And you know, this is the thing, right? This is the thing. You have just hit the nail on the head. Look, you're a radio guy, and you know about this, right?
Yeah.
Why doesn't medical doctors know about this? Why? Because it's not in their culture. It's not. It's just not part of what we do. If we put 1/1,000th of the money into botanical medical research and homeopathic clinical trials for chronic illness, there would be no chronic illness. And by the way, fasten your seatbelts, folks. I hope we're going to talk about this in the next hour. In the veterinarian community in the United States, 40, 50 years ago, we've eliminated 900 chronic illnesses in animals. We eliminated them. Eliminated them. They're gone. And if we can do it with animals, we can do it with humans. And this is really,
right.
This is the foundation message that I bring to people is, you know, number one, don't go to your medical doctor unless you're bleeding to death or have a nasty infection. And number two, healing is easy. Anybody can do it. You have been brainwashed into believing that healing is a complicated, sophisticated, high-tech process. It is not. If you give your body the raw materials that it needs and stop eating food that's gumming up the works, 99 times out of 100, your body will fix itself. I've seen type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, fibromyalgia, insomnia, osteoarthritis, osteopenia, rheumatoid arthritis, eczema, psoriasis, depression, bipolar disease, schizophrenia, insomnia, heartburn, and asthma disappear. And quite frankly, in the veterinarian community, these diseases do not exist anymore, and they haven't existed for 50 years.
Right.
We can do the same thing with people that we did with animals, and it's easy. Medical nutrition is one of the best kept secrets in the world.
As long as they keep the information of this, to a minimum, then the money train can keep coming.
That's correct.
Right. You can get Thebazole and Ravencera and this sort of stuff, and just use, if you get it on a therapeutic level, which means you can ingest it, then you can get multiple drops. God, it'll last you like a year or 2 years, and it's like $20. It's nothing.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. Look, type 2 diabetes. The average type 2 diabetic is treated for 30 years, and 30 years of treatment for type 2 diabetes profits the medical industry about $350,000, $350,000 approximately in the United States. We can't say we can cure it, and that's a whole other thing to talk about, but we can make the symptoms of type 2 diabetes go away 100%, and it takes about 3 months. Because, like iron-deficient anemia, iron-deficient anemia, of course, is caused by not enough iron in the body. You give the body iron and, cofactors, it goes away. Well, type 2 diabetes is a multiple mineral deficiency disease, period. It's not genetic. It's got nothing to do with aging. And you haven't been cursed by God. If you have type 2 diabetes, your blood has run out of the raw materials it needs to keep itself, its sugars functioning, to act the way that nature intended it to. That's it.
Right. And a lot of those raw materials are raw foods. Your diet should be at least 51% raw food, just because your body needs to process that. And
yes, however, this is a very interesting thing to understand. You know, there are 91 essential nutrients that the human body needs. There's 91. There's not 93 or 94. There's 91. And an essential nutrient is called essential because the body cannot make it. Essential nutrients have to be imported.
Right.
One of the reasons why we need to eat food. Here's the breakdown of the 91 nutrients. 60 are minerals, 16 are vitamins, 12 are amino acids, and 3 are essential fatty acids. So that's 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 3 essential fatty acids. Well, the lion's share of the 91 nutrients is the minerals. It's almost two-thirds. But there's only one place that minerals are found. They're in the soil or they're not in the soil. Well, sometimes they're in the water, but if they're in the water, it's because they washed out of the soil. The only problem is you could have 100 acres in Switzerland, have a PhD in organic farming, grow the best organic fruits and vegetables and nuts and grains in the world, eat only your food, and you would still be nutritionally deficient because the minerals on this planet are not spread out evenly in the soil. So, you know, this row of carrots might have 16 minerals in the soil. The next row right next to it might have 22. The next row might have 10. The carrot only needs 6 to reproduce and grow. You need 60. So even if you're eating the world's most perfect diet, you are nutritionally deficient. Everybody who is not supplementing correctly.
Yeah, I was going to say this is where supplements come in. Yeah.
This is it. If you're not supplementing, it's just a matter of time before your body runs out of the raw materials that it needs. Then something breaks. Then you go to a medical doctor. He gives you a drug to manage the symptom. And then you get sick and you die. And that's what we put up with as the world's best medical care, and it's nonsense.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I was going to say that in Canada here, over the last 2 or 3 years, they've been sneaking in legislation to get rid of a lot of the natural herbs.
Yeah, Codex Alimentarius.
And many others.
Yeah, we have a law.
You know, they're doing it in the fashion.
Yeah, it might come to, you know, taken to the streets. I mean, it might come to that. I certainly hope that it doesn't come to that. But there's going to be a breaking point, you know, after which, you know, we're just mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. In the United States, we're lucky. We have a law. It's called, the acronym is DSHEA. It stands for the Dietary Health Supplement Enforcement Act. And it is a law on the books that draws a line between the pharmaceutical industry and vitamins. So you can get vitamins at any potency that you want without a doctor's prescription, and it's not regulated by the pharmaceutical industry, thank God. I'll tell you a story. In the last presidential election, John McCain in the United States was sponsoring a bill that tried to gut DSHEA, to rip it off the books and open up the vitamin industry to pharmaceutical control. My colleague, Dr. Wallach, who sued the FDA, he sued the FDA 8 times, and he won 7.5 times. Right? The last time, he would have won 8 times, but the FDA withdrew their complaint in the final hour. So he has quite a reputation in Washington, D.C., and he sent his lawyer, his name is Jonathan Emord, he sent his lawyer to see John McCain on a Friday. And he told him, look, if you support this bill, there's going to be such an uprising here, it's going to make the Boston Tea Party look like a child's game. And that was on Friday, and on Monday, McCain withdrew his support for the bill. So, you know, we still have a little bit of proactive grassroots power here in the United States that we can use to leverage what we're doing for the benefit of humanity. But it's a problem. In a lot of countries in Europe, you can't get vitamins without a doctor's prescription, and the vitamins that you are allowed to get are just ridiculously low in nutritional value. You know, you need to try to get 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Well, you can't. You can get 3 milligrams of vitamin C, and that's just not ever going to do anything. It's a big problem.
Right. It's the same thing with D3. If you're going to get D3, yeah, they're trying to get you to take like 200, when what you should be taking is 5,000.
It's correct. And, you know, that's a whole nother can of worms, because so there is a little bit of a firewall here in the United States that protects us so far, and we're lucky for that. Now, also, when it comes to vitamins and nutritional supplements, here's my stance. And this position, by the way, is based on about $50 million of federally funded research and a combined 60 years of clinical experience. The majority of chronic illnesses are caused by nutrient deficiencies. They're caused by nutrient deficiencies. All the things I talked about earlier in this show, arthritis, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, you name it, they're nutrient deficiency diseases. When you give the body the nutrients that it needs, they go away. But last year in the United States, we took $70 billion, with a B, dollars worth of vitamins and nutritional supplements. And everybody's still sick. Well, why is that? Because when it comes to nutritional supplements, the recipe is everything. If you don't have enough, it won't work. If it's not bioavailable, it won't work. If you don't have the cofactors, it won't work. It's a very sophisticated process to develop a nutritional supplement which is absorbable and has all of the cofactors that your body needs in order to make it work. And then you have to figure out how much of it to take based on your body weight, of all things. If all of those ducks are in a row, then your nutritional supplement will help your body to fix itself. If it's not enough, if any of those variables are out of sync, you might as well just take a $20 bill and burn it, because you're wasting your money. And this is another big thing that not very many people talk about. When it comes to nutritional supplements, the recipe is everything. It's everything.
Okay. So, yeah, there are lots of stuff you can, lots of things you can buy out there. You can get them in your health food store. You can get them on the internet for $29.95. There's, you know, colloidal silvers you can get. People are making colloidal silver at home. I don't recommend it because, you know, you're making colloidal nano silver that's on the nanoscale, it's the size of a house. Okay. It's never going to penetrate the cell. Okay.
Right.
Not going to happen. Just my advice is, my non-medical advice is, don't make colloidal silver at home, folks. And there's people out there in the industry on the internet that you can buy it from that are making garbage as well. And you may as well just burn your money up, because you're not doing yourself any good. That's my rant out of the way. Tom, you had a question?
I was going to ask Peter, is there any one particular brand or company that is providing all the necessary nutrients and minerals that needed to be?
Well, in my opinion, yeah. I mean, is that something we can talk about on this show? Can we go there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, why not?
Okay, all right, good. Well, I've been doing this for 23 years clinically. That's a long time. And I know most of the vitamin manufacturers in the United States, most of them. And, you know, there's a whole section of the vitamin industry that is populated by companies that just sell to physicians. They have very high potency nutraceutical recipes that they only sell to licensed physicians, right? And, you know, most of these companies, the average person on the street hasn't even heard of. You know, this is not stuff you can get at a health food store or a GNC. And I know all of them. It's a small community, right? And when you've been doing it for more than two decades, you get a clue. I've tested the majority of these companies over the last 23 years with a quality control assay that I have. And there are only three companies that have passed my test. And hands down, the leader of the pack as far as effectiveness and research behind their recipes, right, and then the quality control that they bring to bear when they make the stuff, it's an international vitamin company called Youngevity. It's hands down the best nutritional supplements in the world. Nobody even comes close to
Youngevity.com?
Yep, Youngevity.com.
Okay.
Hands
and
down.
You have information about that on your website as well?
I might have a link to Youngevity on my website. Now, there are a couple things to understand about Youngevity. Because, you know, like everything else, there's a lot of misinformation on the internet. And Youngevity is making such strides and such social impact. They are creating such positive social change that, you know, other people in the medical industry are promoting false information about the company. So let me just clear the deck right now. Youngevity was founded 17 years ago by Dr. Joel Wallach. And Dr. Wallach set Youngevity up with the option of having it be a networked business, right? Now, he did that on purpose. He could have used his research and his vitamin formulations. He could have sold them to physicians, like those other companies I talked about. He could have sold them through GNC and health food stores, or even CVS and Walgreens. He could have done that, but he didn't. He chose to make longevity a networked business for one reason and one reason only. When they fired him from Yerkes Primate Research Center, after he discovered the cause and the cure for cystic fibrosis, when they fired him, he got it in his bones that medicine in the United States was controlled by the drug companies. And there is no way he was going to get his information about health recovery through medical nutrition through the front door. Couldn't do it. So he decided on purpose to set longevity up as a networked business to generate a gigantic grassroots coalition of people telling their friends and family members and church members and community members, you know what? I know a doctor that says you don't have to suffer with that. I know a doctor that has a health recovery program just for that type of arthritis. If I show you this information, will you just take a look at it? And that's what we do. So Dr. Wallach, in his wisdom, set longevity up as a network business to change the way that medicine is practiced in North America as an end around for the drug companies. And there's two ways you can work with longevity. You can get in touch with Dr. Wallach or myself or a longevity distributor and tell them your health condition. They'll tell you Dr. Wallach's recommended protocol and give you the stuff at the wholesale price, which is a great thing. No doctor's visit, no copay, no insurance, no nothing. Because remember, healing is easy. We have health recovery protocols for type 2 diabetes and arthritis and asthma and osteoporosis, you name it. We have it dialed in. The other way that you can work with longevity is become a member of longevity for a one-time $10 fee. One time, 10 bucks. That's it. You're in. 10 bucks. And as a longevity member, we teach you for free the health recovery protocols. And we show you how to turn your friends and family onto them. And when you do, you get a percentage of everything that everybody in your network purchases every month. And that's a beautiful thing.
Which means that makes whatever you're getting cheap. Yeah, I have no problem with this way of doing business because basically it takes it out of the hands of the pharmaceutical companies. And no matter whatever does that is a good thing in my book. And it makes it a lot cheaper.
And that's right. And by the way, Dr. Wallach divorced himself completely from the revenue stream of the vitamins. He doesn't make any money at all from the vitamin sales in longevity. And he did that on purpose to deflect criticism, you know, from the medical people saying, oh, that Wallach, he's just trying to make money selling vitamins. Well, guess what? He doesn't make any money. Longevity exists for one reason and one reason only, to change the way that medicine is practiced in North America, Europe, you know, all around the world, because we're suffering for lack of knowledge only. You wouldn't believe the conditions that I've seen people recover from. Sometimes I don't believe it, quite frankly. I had a patient with a fake knee, started on the nutritional supplement program and the diet, and grew cartilage over the fake knee. Grew cartilage over the fake knee. It was unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's the tip of the iceberg, too. You know, really, it really boils down to one just fundamental thing that, you know, the human body, you know, think about this. The human body had the wisdom to grow itself all by itself from a single-celled organism into the magnificent creature that's a human being. Now, we theorize that, son of a gun, if the body could do that, it probably knows how to fix itself. And you know what it does? All your body needs to fix itself. All your body needs to fix its heart, fix its joints, fix its liver, fix its spleen, fix its brain, is the raw materials that it needs to do that. The only problem is it's impossible to get all those raw materials from food. So you have to supplement. If you don't supplement, it's just a matter of time before your deficiencies reach a breaking point and then you develop an illness, right? So look, take your supplements, learn a little bit, just a little bit, and change the rest of your life from here on out. Change it. You can do it. Your body will fix itself if you just give it a little break.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Your body can fix pretty much anything as long as it has the raw materials to do the fixing. Tom, do you have a question?
Yeah, I want to find out that the recipe of minerals that you need, is it something that you can find out what may be for each individual, or how would you go about doing that?
All right, that's a great question. Now, you're the smartest man in class. That's a very, very good question. The Youngevity Company owns the rights to a mineral deposit in Utah that came from the Jurassic days. And that mineral deposit, it's a type of rock formation called humic shale. That humic shale deposit is loaded with 100% organic plant-derived colloidal minerals, which is the preferred form of minerals in the human body. You know, if you're smart enough to know that you need calcium, for instance, right? There's two things you can do. You can find some ground that has calcium in it. You can dig the calcium up, separate it out, purify it, put it in a capsule, and swallow it. Well, that type of calcium, being a metallic calcium, is about 15% absorbable by the human body. Another way to do it is find some earth that has calcium in it, plant some lettuce or rice or beans or carrots or anything you want that you can eat on that soil. As the plant matures, it sucks the minerals out of the soil. It sucks the calcium out of the soil. And as it metabolizes that calcium, it transforms it from a metallic calcium to a colloidal calcium. Then when you eat that plant, your body ingests the colloidal calcium, which is the preferred form. It's magic. Well, we have the mineral, the Youngevity Company has the mining rights to a mineral deposit in Utah that has 77 organic plant-derived minerals in it. And it's unbelievable. This is why their mineral recipe, specifically their mineral recipe, is better than anybody else's because of the source that they get it from. I was just there 2 months ago. I'm going to put a video up on my website about it. It's a very fascinating experience, but that was a very, very good question because, you know, that's so far as we know. Now, look, there might be other places on Earth, but so far, that's the only one that anybody's ever found that has 100% organic plant-derived colloidal minerals and all of them that you need in one place. And that's really the backbone supplement here that drives this whole engine forward. That was a great question.
Now, how is the some of the treatments that you use, what do you find are the most needed? Like, what do people come to you for?
Arthritis. Type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and fibromyalgia. And, you know, there's a whole host of other things, too. You know, insomnia, anxiety, and panic attacks. But hands down, most people come to me, end up in my office because they're in pain, you know. And most people are in pain because their joints are starting to go south. There's tons of arthritis here. Also, tons of type 2 diabetes and obesity. By the way, I know the secret to weight loss that not even Oprah knows.
Oh, got to tell us now.
And it's easier than falling off of a log. You're going to laugh when I tell you. But again, our medical doctors have gotten it completely backwards. And this is, you know, this is reflected in the startling statistics in the United States, right? Now, 30% of people in the United States are obese. 300,000 a year die from obesity-related illnesses. In kids in the U.S., obesity has tripled in the past 33 years, and it's increased by 60% in adults in the last 20 years. It's nuts. These numbers are crazy. And it's not because you have a bad gene. And this is another one of my pet peeves. And this is one of the reasons why I really do have an axe to grind with medical doctors. I mean, I really do. And it's a deserved axe, right? You know, it would have been different if medical doctors just left everybody alone and, you know, didn't try to monopolize and imprison their competitors, right? But they did. And that's just not right. The obesity epidemic in the United States is the fault of the MDs, period, because they have thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Obesity right. is a deficiency disease.
Not genetic.
And is not genetic, and it is not a disease of excess. And if any medical doctor tells you your condition is genetic, that's code for, I have no idea what's causing your problem, but I don't want to look stupid. It's a gigantic scapegoat that medical doctors use to make up for their egregious treatment failures and pass the blame to the patient. So rather than taking responsibility and saying, you know what, boys, these therapeutics just aren't cutting the mustard. We really need to revisit this whole drug and surgery thing. Rather than saying that, which is just, you know, a common sense, objective, scientific finding, rather than admitting their own failures, they blame the patient, saying, oh, you have some mysterious undiscovered gene. That's why you have type 2 diabetes. That's why you're overweight. That's why you have high blood pressure. And that's why I can't fix it. So the next time anybody tells you your illness is genetic, I want you to look them straight in the eye. I want you to take two steps closer to them, look them straight in the eye and say, really, which gene is it, doctor? You know, we decoded the entire human genome about 6 years ago. Which gene is it, doctor, that's giving me the problem? Well, they won't be able to tell you because it's not genetic, right? But I digress. Obesity is a deficiency disease, and here's how it goes. In animals, there's a curious behavior called pica, or cribbing. It's an uncontrollable need to eat in animals. It shows up in horses and cows. When a horse or a cow has pica or cribbing, they'll eat dirt, they'll eat stones, they'll eat the wood on their fence. A cow will even eat another cow. It is an uncontrollable need to eat in an animal.
Wait, and that sounds like my 15-year-old son.
Exactly. And anybody that's truly obese, you know, it's like more than 100 pounds overweight, will tell you, if you ask them authentically, they'll tell you that food is like a drug and they can't stop eating. They just can't do it. You know, they'll go someplace, they'll go to Olive Garden or someplace and have 3,000 calories for dinner, go home, half an hour later they're hungry again, right? And the medical doctor will tell them it's genetic or it's a psychological problem. Well, exactly the same thing happens in animals. Now, did the cow who's overeating have an alcoholic father or a weak will or an inferiority complex? No. The only reason that animals or humans overeat is because the 91 nutrients that we need, remember, we need 91 essential nutrients every day, and it is impossible to get them just from food. So if you're not supplementing with the right recipes, it's just a matter of time until your deficiencies get really, really, really bad, until your nutrient levels get really low. When they get to a certain level of lowness, a switch in your brain flips on, because remember, your body has wisdom. Your body knows that it's nutrient-starved. The animal knows it's nutrient-starved, so its central nervous system forces it to eat in the desperate attempt to recover the lost nutrients. The only problem is the food that we're eating is nutrient poor. So we eat and 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 our nutritional tank is still empty. And that is the cause of obesity. It's not psychological. It's not genetic. It's caused by chronic nutrient deficiencies. And the wonderful news here is that when you provide your body with the raw materials that it needs, when you give it all 91 essential nutrients, after a time, and usually it's only like 2 to 3 weeks, usually, your cravings disappear. So now you go to Olive Garden or wherever you go, and there's 3,000 calories on your plate. You eat 600, take the rest home in a doggy bag because you're full. And your between-the-meal cravings go away. You don't want a snack anymore. You don't have to count calories because you're not hungry. Why are you not hungry? Because for the first time in your life, your body is completely nutritionally satisfied, and that is a game changer. I love helping people recover body weight because it's easier than falling off a potato truck.
Okay, that's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
That is very interesting.
Now, here's
it makes sense.
I know, but and here's the irony of ironies. Most people, you know, that go to Weight Watchers or wherever they go, they're told to exercise. When you exercise, what happens? You increase your metabolic rate and you sweat out your nutrient reserves. So as you exercise, you actually accelerate your nutrient loss, which is why everybody falls off the program, because you will never, ever, ever beat Mother Nature. When your nutritional tank gets that low and then you make it lower by exercising, there's no way. You can, when Mother Nature tells you to eat, you have to eat. And this is why people bounce up and down in their weight all the time, because they exercise. One of the worst things anybody can do, strap on your seatbelts, folks. The holistic doctor is going to tell you one of the worst things anybody can do is exercise. Couch potatoes live 10 years longer than people who exercise regularly. 10 years longer. You think exercise is healthy? Look at any retired professional athlete. Look at Bobby Hull, for goodness sake.
Right.
These people are paid to exercise, and they're dropping like flies as soon as they retire. Now, the corollary is also true. The reason exercise is dangerous is because you're running on nutrient fumes. Now, when you exercise and give your body all 91 essential nutrients, Superman, a superwoman. But if you don't, you're going to accelerate your nutrient loss, and you're going to accelerate the genesis of chronic disease. It's crazy. Again, we have it 100% backwards, and it's killing us.
Okay, how about, that's very interesting. I'm going to ask you now, how important is good water?
Wow. Talk about a subject of controversy. You know, it's extremely important, but, you know, there's a lot of debate around what is good, right, and what is not good. We've got the Kangen water people given alkalinized water. We've got reverse osmosis. We've got magnetized water. We've got all kinds of things that we can do, right? And I honestly don't have the answer to that, but here's what I do know. And again, remember, it has come to me in this incarnation to be the dispeller of myths. You know, I'm like the guy walking around in the 1800s saying, hey, everybody, you know what? That old slavery thing, yeah, I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Was not a popular opinion, right?
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal with water. One of the worst things anybody can do for their health is drink alkalinized water with a meal. Now let's think about this. Or any carbonated beverage, even sparkling water like Perrier with the little bubbles in it, or a soda pop with a meal. In the case of soda pop or something that has sparkling bubbles in it, the bubbles are carbon dioxide. And in alkaline water, the water is alkaline. Now, when you pour carbon dioxide into your stomach, which is a bag of acid, you neutralize your stomach acid. Your body can't digest its food. It takes about 2 hours for your stomach to recover its acidity after you've neutralized it with a soda pop or alkalinized water. Alkalinized water does the same thing. Now, I do believe that alkalinized water in a particular molecular shape absorbs way better into your body, just like a colloidal mineral does. But you have to be careful.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you're not going to, what would be a good metaphor here? I don't know. If you're going to do alkalinized water, do it between meals, not during a meal. Because if you do it during a meal, you're going to neutralize your stomach acid, and that ain't good. And I don't know, again, what happens up in Canada. I don't know if you guys are as soda pop crazy as we are down here.
Oh, yeah. I just don't drink it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I used to be a member of one of the branches of the Chamber of Commerce down here, you know, in Chicago. And I'd watch these guys eat lunch, and it horrified me. I mean, every single solitary thing that everybody was eating was bad for them, and not only bad, but really bad. You know, and washing down lunch or dinner with a soda pop is one of the worst things anybody can do, especially if it's diet.
right. And then the stuff they're adding to our tap water and all of this stuff. And
yeah, you know, fluoride's a big one. Fluoride's a big bugaboo. There was a study that was done in India about 25 years ago. They had two villages, about 25,000 people each. And the only variable between the villages was that one of the villages started using iodized water. I'm not iodized, but fluoridated water. Fluoridated water, I'm sorry. And 5 years down the road, the IQs of the people drinking the fluoridated water dropped by 10 points. Fluoride, consistent consumption of fluoride, had a statistically significant negative impact on their IQs. Now, that's, I know, the foundation of a giant conspiracy theory, and I'm ready to run with that, but I don't advocate fluoridated water. I want you to purify your water. I want you to send your filtered water to a lab to have it tested.
Yeah.
Make sure there's no crap in it. And if you're going to use alkalinized water, drink it between meals.
Okay. So water is definitely important.
Yeah. And also that, you know, begs the question, well, how much is enough? And quite frankly, nobody knows. Now, some of my colleagues advocate you take your body weight in pounds. I know it's in kilos up there, but you take your body weight in pounds, divide that by 2, and try to get that many ounces of water in your body a day. So if you're 100 pounds, you need 50 ounces of water a day. I'm not sure that that's accurate. You know, quite frankly, if you're thirsty, drink water. And as a nice little experiment, because there are a number of things that can go bad with you, real common things, like just not having enough energy or feeling depressed or having bad sleep, can be simple dehydration. They're caused by dehydration. So for 1 week, double your water intake and see how it makes you feel. For 1 week, double your water intake, see how it makes you feel. And this, again, is one of the greatest things about medical nutrition. Because, like the fella said, man, the proof of the pudding's in the eating. You don't have to believe any of this. I don't care. You know, quite frankly, you can have 25 doctors on, and they're all going to tell you different things. But the greatest thing about what I do and what I've seen clinically is that it proves itself. All you have to do is try it. You know, clean your diet up just a little bit, and maybe we can talk about that next. Take some good nutritional supplements, you know, preferably by longevity, okay? Preferably by longevity. Make sure you're taking enough for your body weight, and you're going to love the way that you feel, because when you give your body everything that it needs, you feel great, and then your chronic illnesses disappear. So it becomes a self-fulfilling treatment because, you know, the proof of the pudding's in the eating.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about good eating. Let's cover that subject.
All right, so here's where we really start to pound some myths into submission, all right? So, three of the most important foods anybody can eat, unless you're allergic to them, and we can talk about that in a second, are eggs, butter, and salt. Eggs, butter, and salt are mandatory foods. Now, some people have developed an allergy to eggs. And if you think or if you know that you're allergic to eggs, then of course you can't eat them. And actually one of the major cause of gallbladder attacks, the most significant cause of gallbladder attacks is an egg allergy. Now, I read some statistics somewhere. I think it's over 70% of the time. A gallbladder attack, the stuff that actually gets people to go to the hospital, was preceded by eating a fried egg. So if you have any type of a gallbladder issue, stay away from eggs for good reason. All right? Okay. Butter and salt are extremely important nutrients, as is full fat dairy. Now remember, fat doesn't make you fat. The only thing that makes people fat is eating too many calories, The only thing that makes us eat too many calories is we don't have enough nutrition. You fulfill your nutritional tank, your craving for calories goes way down. You need healthy fats. And there is no relationship, zero relationship, between high cholesterol and heart disease. It does not exist. Cholesterol is so important to the human body that your liver makes it. It makes it. All of your sex hormones are made from cholesterol. That's right, all of your sex hormones. All of your stress hormones are made from cholesterol. 75% of your brain, for goodness sake, is made from cholesterol. Now, I want you to think about this. In the United States, for the last 40 years, we've been driving cholesterol into the dirt with statin drugs, fat-free diets, and exercise. While we've been doing that, heart disease has remained the number one killer. It hasn't budged. Has not budged. But while we've been driving cholesterol into the dirt, Alzheimer's has risen from obscurity to the sixth or the fifth leading cause of death, depending on how you crunch the numbers. Alzheimer's, now a big deal. And women are getting hot flushes for 5 years instead of 2 months like their grandparents. And all of a sudden, men have erectile dysfunction. Well, where the heck did that come from? Well, I'll tell you where that came from. It came from your medical doctor with his statin drugs. Because when you drive your cholesterol into the dirt with statin drugs and fat-free diets, your body runs out of this cholesterol that it needs to make sex hormones. So you can't make testosterone if you're a man. You can't make progesterone if you're a woman. So if you're a man, you get erectile dysfunction. If you're a woman, you get hot flushes. And 100% of the brain, part of the brain that's affected by Alzheimer's, guess what it's made from? Cholesterol.
Oh, okay.
So when you're on a low-fat diet and statin drugs, your brain dries up, you get Alzheimer's, and it's bad.
Well, so, a lot of the, when you go shopping, you see 50% less cholesterol, no cholesterol, yeah. Cholesterol, we're
it's
sucking you dry up cholesterol, yeah.
The myth, it's a myth. Eat cholesterol, it's your friend. Butter, full-fat, dairy,
raw milk.
Some of the best foods you can have, yeah. If you can find, you know, raw milk that's certified tuberculosis-free and botulinum-free by your state, then by all means eat it with the cream on top. That's some good stuff. There's a couple places in Illinois you can get that. I'm a big fan of raw milk.
They're trying to shut all these guys down and throw them in jail and close their businesses and stuff like that. Tom, do you have a question?
Yeah. I'm a perfect example because I've had a heart attack a couple of years back. And, I take pretty much a horse pill for cholesterol right now.
Okay. So let me tell you.
Every time I discuss it with my doctor to tell her, you know, I want to reduce it because it's not making me feel good, you know, they say, oh, no, you need that because it's going to reduce your cholesterol.
Okay,
I'm not going to have another heart attack.
Yeah. So there's no relationship between cholesterol and heart attacks. There's a Russian doctor. He has a funny name. His name is Ufi Ravenskov, and he has a pretty good website. I'll give it to you. It's RAVNSKOV, Ravenskov.NU, Ravenskov.NU. He did a meta-analysis of all of the research ever published anywhere in recorded time on heart disease and could find no relationship between high cholesterol and heart disease. It doesn't exist. It's not supported by the literature. Another colleague of mine, he's an MD, actually a forward-thinking MD. His name is John Abrams. He wrote a book called Overdosed America. It was a New York Times bestseller. And in his book, Overdosed America, he completely blasted academically the research that Pfizer Pharmaceutical used to support the use of Lipitor, which was the main statin-lowering drug. He blasted it right out of the water. And there was zero media attention for it. So here's what you want to do. Go to Ravenskov's website, download some of his research. But better yet, ask your medical doctor to provide you with the research that supports the use of statin drugs for heart disease. They can't do it because it does not exist. It doesn't exist. I'll tell you what causes heart disease. Do you have coronary artery disease, clogged arteries? Or did you have atrial fibrillation or an enlarged heart? Do you remember what they told you?
Blocked arteries.
Okay. So I don't know if you've ever been camping, but if you are a camper or an outdoorsman, you'll soon notice that where a river bends, sediment builds up and there's a little beach there. And that's because of fluid dynamics, right? Sand and silt are carried downstream and they pile up at the bends of the river, actually making the river bend a little bit more, right? Now, the only blood vessels in the human body that get blocked are arteries. Veins never get clogged with cholesterol. Never, ever. Doesn't happen. If cholesterol is the culprit, why does it only happen in arteries and not veins? You have just as much cholesterol in veins as you do in arteries. Why does it only happen in arteries? Well, here's why it only happens in arteries. And by the way, 100% of clogged arteries, the clog starts at the bend of the artery. It never, ever, ever happens on the straight run of the artery. It always happens at the bend. So here's how it goes. Unwittingly, you are eating food that is loaded with pesticides or heterocyclic amines or acrylamide or some bad chemical that your body doesn't like. When that chemical goes into your body, your liver detoxifies it. And in the process of detoxification, your liver creates little atoms called free radicals. Free radicals usually are singlet atoms of oxygen, but a free radical is like metabolic Velcro. It sticks to whatever it can, and when enough free radicals stick to something, whatever they stick to becomes oxidized. And when something becomes oxidized, it becomes destroyed, right? Oxidative damage. Now, so you're walking down the street, you breathe in carbon dioxide, or you eat a salad that's got some pesticides on it. Now your liver detoxes that stuff, and now you have free radicals floating through your bloodstream like sand and silt in the river. When the free radical enters your artery, it turns the bend, piles up on the wall of the artery the same way that sand piles up at the bend of the river, sticks to the artery wall and starts to destroy the artery wall. This is not good. Inside the artery is blood under extremely high pressure. Now, lucky for you, your artery has a muscle in it, and then there's the wall of the artery. Veins don't have muscles, but the artery does. Arteries constrict and relax to help your blood, the heart pump blood downstream. So now you've got these free radicals piled up destroying the muscle fiber in the artery. When that starts to happen, your body freaks out because your body, again, has wisdom. MDs don't think that it does, but it does. Your body has wisdom. It knows that if that destruction continues, the vein will tear, the artery will tear, and you will bleed to death. If your artery tears, you're going to bleed out in about 30 to 60 seconds, depending on which artery, and you will die in a couple of heartbeats, just like that. So your body will do anything it can to prevent that from happening. So it uses one of the nutrients that it has in superabundance, cholesterol, to bandage the tear. Your body lays down cholesterol in the artery to keep you from bleeding to death. It's the bandage. But when the body lays down cholesterol, it creates a little beachhead, which causes more free radicals to accumulate right there, which causes more destruction, which causes more cholesterol to be laid down, and so forth and so on, and that's how a clog happens. Thinking that cholesterol causes clogged arteries is like thinking that firemen cause fires, because son of a gun, the bigger the fire, the more firemen, right? Right. Well, again, medical doctors have it completely ass backwards. Cholesterol is not the disease, it's the cure. It's what's keeping you alive. So what do you do? If you've had clogged artery, it's because you are suffering from free radical damage, period. You do not have a bad gene. You have not been cursed by God. You're eating unwittingly, eating food that's loaded with free radicals, and your body does not have the raw materials to fight that. Now, the substances that your body uses to fight free radicals are called antioxidants, right?
Yeah, of course.
Free radicals cause oxidative damage. So one of your goals should be to consume a lot of free radical, a lot of antioxidants a day. And antioxidants are measured by their ORAC score. That's O-R-A-C. You know, vitamins are measured by milligrams or micrograms. Well, antioxidants are measured by an ORAC score, O-R-A-C. Your goal should be a minimum of 20,000 ORAC of antioxidants a day, 20,000. The average North American gets 1,200. You need 20,000. You know, you can so do a little Google search for ORAC food value and start, like, for instance, green tea has more antioxidants than coffee does. So stop drinking coffee, drink green tea. Blueberries have more antioxidants than bananas. So eat blueberries instead of bananas. Curry powder has a lot of antioxidants. Cinnamon has a lot of antioxidants and so forth and so on. Longevity has chocolate made from an Aztec recipe, like a 3,000-year-old Aztec recipe. In one piece of chocolate, there are 17,000 points of ORAC in its chocolate. So quite frankly, if you had one piece of chocolate a day and a glass of green tea, you'd be good. But you also need to stop eating the foods that are the heavy free radical formers. And this is the last time you're going to like Dr. Glidden, okay? Because I'm going to give you a list of 7 foods that nobody should ever eat, let alone look at.
Go for it.
Here we go. Wheat, barley, rye, oats. Wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Fried food. Oil in a bottle. Even extra super-duper virgin olive oil. Well-done red meat. The skins of baked potatoes, yams, and sweet potatoes, and any nitrates added to meat as a preservative. All right, I lied. That's 9 foods. All right. No wheat, no barley, no rye, no oats. No oil in a bottle. No fried food. No well-done red meat. No skins of baked potatoes, yams, or sweet potatoes. And no nitrates added as preservatives to meat. Those foods are all deleterious and dangerous and produce net negative nutritional results. And that's every darn thing we eat in this country. That's why everybody's overweight. That's why
I was going to say you just wiped out like 80% of the food on the tables of most North Americans.
I know. It's crazy. Now, look, you can have red meat. Just have it rare or medium rare. When you eat it well done, the protein turns into a chemical called a heterocyclic amine, which is carcinogenic, and that's not good. Anything fried creates a chemical called acrylamide, which is extremely carcinogenic. If you did nothing other than eliminate fried food from your diet, no exercise, no yoga, no vitamins, no meditation, no colloidal silver, no nothing. The only thing you did different was stop eating fried food, you'd add 10 years to your life. That's how bad it is. Fried food will kill you. Don't even look at it, for goodness sake. I don't even want my patients to be downwind of it, quite frankly. When nitrates, which are injected into, you know, pepperoni and sausage and deli ham and deli turkey, they're injected as preservatives to keep that stuff from turning gray in the deli case and looking like a cadaver, right? Nobody's going to eat that. When a nitrate is heated, it turns into a chemical called a nitrosamine, which is carcinogenic and will kill you. So you can have bacon, believe it or not. You can have pepperoni and sausage and ham and turkey. Just make sure it doesn't have nitrates in it, because it's the nitrates, not the meat, that will hurt you. And it's the meat. The meat is cooked, not the meat, that will hurt you. The heterocyclic amine is also...
Now you really...
Yeah, I know. Welcome.
Now you really spoiled it for me, because I went and bought about 3 pounds of sausages over there today.
Well,
see,
look,
see, Tom, we could just live off. I've told you this. We should just live off raw oysters.
There
That's
you go.
That's my plan.
I'm all in. I'm all in. I've got
just not from the Gulf Coast.
Exactly.
No BP oil, thank you.
Yeah, so this is the deal, right? And the skins of baked potatoes, yams, and sweet potatoes also contain heterocyclic amines. Now, if you boil the potato, the yam, or the sweet potato, you can eat the skin because it's the heat of the cooking process that generates the nasty chemicals. So if you boil a potato, yam, or a sweet potato, you can eat the whole thing. But if you bake it, just eat the meat of the potato, not the skin, all right? And oil in a bottle oxidizes and delivers free radicals to your body. And wheat, barley, rye, and oats destroy the tissue in your intestinal tract that your body uses to absorb nutrients. Everybody listening to this radio show should be gluten-free. And if you don't believe me, take the Dr. Glidden Challenge. Here's what I want you to do. For 7 days in a row, I want you to stop eating wheat, barley, rye, and oats. I don't even want you to look at it. Not even one crouton, baby. Zero tolerance for wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Zero. And then on day 8, all I want you to eat is wheat, barley, rye, and oats. Right? Have pancakes for breakfast. Have a bagel for lunch. Have, you know, a sandwich for a snack. Have donuts. Have cookies and crackers and pasta for dinner. And if you make it to lunch without an aggravation of a mental or a physical complaint, I will eat my damn hat. Over 75%, conservative estimates put 75% of Caucasians with an intolerance to these foods. And if you're African American or black, 85%. This stuff is bad. And by the way, for those of you in the audience who are of a religious bent, the wheat of today is not Old Testament wheat. It's Monsanto's monoclonally hybridized wheat, and there's quite a bit of difference. So you need to just take the Dr. Glidden Challenge. Stop eating that crap for 7 days, see how you feel, and then challenge it on day 8 with a lot of it, and you're going to feel so horrible on day 8, you're going to believe me and remain wheat, barley, rye, and oat free for the rest of your life.
Now, what do you say to people who love bread?
So,
I say you suffer and die.
Okay.
Well, look, you know, here's the deal, okay? When I was in college, you could smoke in bars. You can't do that in the U.S. anymore. But, you know, so I was never a smoker, but, you know, we'd go into the college bar and play video games or pool or watch the ball game or whatever. And when you're in there for more than 30 minutes, you don't smell the smoke anymore. You get used to it. You habituate to it. But when you leave, go outside, and you're outside for 5 minutes, get something from your car, come back in, as soon as you open that door, man, oh man, is it smoky in here. Because we eat wheat all of the time, 5 times a day, minimum, we have become habituated to the net negative effects. We have gotten used to feeling lousy, and we don't know it's the wheat that's doing it. And the only way to figure that out is to stop eating it, see how you feel, and then eat a bunch of it, see how you feel. And that's the acid test.
Okay. Go ahead, Tom.
So since Scott was saying that, you know, he just live on oysters, but is there any other foods that you recommend that we eat?
Well, yeah, everything. Everything except wheat, barley, rye, and oats, oil in a bottle, fried food, well-done red meat, and nitrates, and baked potatoes, yams, and sweet potatoes that are baked. That's anything else is a go. So, you know, eggs, butter, salt, fish, chicken.
When we're talking about salt,
fruits, nuts, you know, the whole thing. If it's not the bad food list, go for it.
When we're talking about salt, are we talking about the white ionized salt, or are we talking about good quality salt like the Himalayan salt?
Now, you're the smartest man in the class. That's a very good question. Now, if you're not taking longevity colloidal plant minerals, then sea salt or Himalayan salt that has extra minerals in it is recommended. but there's not nearly enough minerals in that stuff to give you everything that your body needs, but a little bit is better than none. If you are taking the longevity colloidal plant minerals, then you can use iodized table salt, because the iodine that's in there is very good for you, as is the salt. And there's more wars have been fought for the acquisition of salt than for the acquisition of oil or gold. Roman soldiers used to be paid in salt. That's where the term salary came from. Salt is an extremely important nutrient for the human body, and here's why. I alluded to the fact before that your stomach is basically a bag full of acid. And if your stomach acid was healthy, baby, you could stick a tube down your stomach, suck some of that acid out, drip it on your skin, and it'd burn a hole right through it. It is extremely acidic when it's healthy. In your stomach, your body needs two things to make your stomach acid strong. It needs calcium, and it needs chloride. It needs chloride because stomach acid is hydrochloric acid. It's HCl. There's lots of hydrogen in your body, but not a lot of chloride. So you need to eat salt to donate the chloride molecule to make your stomach acid strong. If you don't have enough salt in your diet, your stomach acid will be weak. If your stomach acid is weak, it is unable to pull nutrients out of your food. Remember, there's not enough nutrients in your food anyway. So now if you can't even pull anything out of it, you get very, very little, if any, nutritional impact from what you eat. You're basically eating empty calories because your stupid medical doctor told you to be on a salt-restricted diet. And as God is my witness, these people should have their medical licenses revoked, because not only are they giving you the wrong advice across the board, but they're also delivering medicines which are the third leading cause of death in the United States, and there ought to be a law.
Okay.
Well, they claim that part of my problem existed because I eat too much salt.
In 1958, a Harvard medical doctor published a study that proved there is no relationship between high blood pressure and salt. It does not exist. High blood pressure is caused by not enough calcium most of the time. Most of the time. Your heart condition has nothing to do with cholesterol. You're lucky you have cholesterol because it saved you from bleeding to death. Your heart condition was caused by copious consumption of all of the wrong foods, egregious lack of antioxidants, and a consistently no nutritional status so that your body couldn't rally and fix itself. I mean, look, if your automobile has a slow oil leak and you don't know it, sooner or later the engine's going to seize up. And there's nothing wrong with the engine. It ran out of oil. That was the only problem. If you'd have fixed the leak, you could have driven that car for 300,000 miles. But it exploded at 50,000 because you had an oil leak you didn't know about. Well, your medical doctor has no training in medical nutrition, no experience, no respect. They're like colorblind art critics. They know about drugs and surgery. And if they were so great, if we were going to take their advice, at least they have to show us some results. Heart disease was the number one killer of people in North America 100 years ago. It's the number one killer of people now. It hasn't changed. While your medical doctor has been treating it in the driver's seat of medicine for the last 100 years, it's time we snapped out of it and woke up. I mean, for goodness sake, results are everything. If they're so darn good, if they want you to follow their advice about heart disease, they need to show you results, and they cannot do it. You need to hold their feet to the fire, man. You need to hold their feet to the fire and get them to prove what they're telling you to do, because the only reason they're telling you this nonsense is because their colleagues told them this nonsense, because their professors told them this nonsense, because their professors told them this nonsense, because the drug companies told them. And everybody just accepts it without question. It is the only industry where we accept things as fact without question. It's almost like a religion.
That's where the God complex comes in, right?
Exactly. And Max Planck, yep. Right? One of the, Albert Einstein's colleagues, very famous for saying, medicine progresses one death at a time. Because these guys aren't interested in facts. They're interested in maintaining the status quo. They're interested in practicing what they're taught 50 years ago, even if it's outdated and killing people. The best thing that can happen to medicine in this country is if a giant asteroid hits and all medical doctors are wiped out. Now look, don't get me wrong. If you were wounded in Vietnam in the 70s, you had a 17% chance of survival. If you're wounded on the battlefield today, you have an 85% chance of survival. Because MDs are really excellent at trauma and infectious disease. That's what they excel at. And that's what they should stick to, quite frankly. They don't have a healthcare crisis in China. They've got 10 times as many people as we do. They don't have a healthcare crisis. Their economy isn't going down the tubes because of healthcare. Because they only use Western medicine for trauma. For goodness sake, they use herbs and acupuncture for everything else.
This is true.
We need to start going that way in this country. But, you know, it's such a medical monopoly that we just believe every damn thing that comes out of the doctor's mouth without question, and it's killing us.
What can we say about colloidal silver? I know you mentioned colloidal silver earlier.
Colloidal silver, awesome. The colloidal silver is being used in some of the more progressive burn clinics in the United States now because it has such fantastic antimicrobial properties. Colloidal silver kills bugs. It is a fantastic antimicrobial. But, you know, just like you were alluding to, you know, how it's made is everything. And, you know, there's lousy colloidal silver, there's low-grade colloidal silver, there's medium-grade colloidal silver, and there's really excellent colloidal silver, just like wine, for goodness sake, not really any difference. So if you can find a high-quality colloidal silver, you know, we recommend you take it whenever you have any type of infection anywhere in the body, because it will really accelerate your body's ability to kill that bug.
Okay, that's great. Well, we've covered a little over 2 hours in our discussion. It went so fast, didn't it, Tom?
Yes, it did.
It's like, boom, well, you know?
You know, and again, if I come off a little too strong, I apologize. You know,
no problem, man. The stronger, the better.
No, you're passionate. That's cool. Okay, what I'd like to do at the end here is I would like you to give out your web address, your URL, and as well as your radio information and where they can listen to you on the radio and where they can check out your site and how they can get hooked into your webinars.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Well, there's two ways to get to my website. You can go to firemymd.com, firemymd.com, or go to D like David, R like Roger, G like Godfrey, L like Larry, I like Indigo, D like David, E like Edward, N like Nancy, drglidden.com. So firemymd.com or drglidden.com. Those both go to the same website. And on the website, you'll find information about my book, Who Made the MD King, or The MD Emperor Has No Clothes. I have a couple of audio cassettes that I've recorded. About nutritional supplements. You can subscribe to my webinars there, $5 a month, $50 a year. And there are also links to the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio show and my own Second Opinion radio show and my lecture schedule. Because remember, I give right now about 70 free lectures a year all over North America. A couple months ago, I was up in a town just over the border in Idaho in Canada, and I'll think of it in a second. And last year I was in Toronto and Regina, and also in Vancouver. So we're all over the place all the time giving free lectures about all of this wonderful stuff about medical nutrition, because remember, folks, what you don't know, you don't know. About health is either going to heal you or it's going to hurt you. So open your minds, please, and open your hearts to this message. Open your minds to this message. Take action on your own behalf, because you do not have to suffer through the debilities of old age. If you just give your body a break, it'll fix itself. Clean your diet up a little bit. Take the nutritional supplements as indicated by your body weight. Look, send me an email. No doctor's visit needed. Send me an email. Give me your height, your weight, your medical condition. I'll send you back the protocol. I'll tell you how much it costs. You can decide if you want to get it or not. I'll give you the wholesale price. Life is good. DrGlidden.com, FireMyMD.com.
Well, thank you for coming out. That was great. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.